Chapter 58. They are, as before mentioned, the subjects of unmitigated contempt there. On Saturday nights, when there is a greater stir than usual outside, and when itinerant vendors of miscellaneous wares even take their stations and light up their smoky lamps before the iron railings, Titbull's becomes flurried. Mrs. Saggers has her celebrated palpitations of the heart, for the most part, on Saturday nights. But Titbull's is unfit to strive with the uproar of the streets in any of its phases. It is religiously believed at Titbull's that people push more than they used, and likewise that the foremost object of the population of England and Wales is to get you down and trample on you. Even of railroads they know, at Titbull's, little more than the shriek which Mrs. Saggers says goes through her, and ought to be taken up by government, and the penny postage may even yet be unknown there, for I have never seen a letter delivered to any inhabitant. But there is a tall, straight, sallow lady resident in number 7, Titbull's, who never speaks to anybody, who is surrounded by a superstitious halo of lost wealth, who does her household work in housemaid's gloves, and who is secretly much deferred to, though openly cavilled at, and it is obscurely leaked out, that this old lady has a son, grandson, nephew, or other relative, who is a contractor, and who would think it nothing of a job to knock down Titbull's, pack it off into Cornwall, and knock it together again. An immense sensation was made by a gypsy party calling in a spring van, to take this old lady up to go for a day's pleasure into Epping Forest, and notes were compared, as to which of the company was the son, grandson, nephew, or other relative, the contractor. A thick-set personage with a white hat, and a cigar in his mouth, was the favorite. Though as Titbull's had no other reason to believe that the contractor was there at all, than that this man was supposed to eye the chimney stacks, as if he would like to knock them down, and cart them off, the general mind was much unsettled in arriving at a conclusion. As a way out of this difficulty, it concentrated itself on the acknowledged beauty of the party, every stitch in whose dress was verbally unripped by the old ladies then and there, and whose goings-on with another, and a thinner personage in the white hat might have suffused the pump where they were principally discussed, with blushes, for months afterwards. Herein Titbull's was to Titbull's true, for it has a constitutional dislike of all strangers. As concerning innovations and improvements, it is always of opinion that what it doesn't want itself, nobody ought to want. But I think I have met with this opinion outside Titbull's. Of the humble treasures of furniture brought into Titbull's by the inmates, when they establish themselves in that place of contemplation for the rest of their days, by far the greater and more valuable part belongs to the ladies. I may claim the honor of having either crossed the threshold, or looked in at the door, of every one of the 9 ladies, and I have noticed that they are all particular in the article of bedsteads, and maintain favorite and long-established bedsteads, and bedding as a regular part of their rest. Generally an antiquated chest of drawers is among their cherished possessions. A tea tray always is. I know of at least 2 rooms in which a little tea kettle of genuine burnished copper vies with the cat in winking at the fire, and one old lady has a tea urn set forth in state on the top of her chest of drawers, which urn is used as her library, and contains 4 duodecimo volumes, and a blackly ordered newspaper giving an account of the funeral of Her Royal Highness the Princess Charlotte. Among the poor old gentlemen there are no such niceties. Their furniture has the air of being contributed, like some obsolete literary miscellany, by several hands. Their few chairs never match. Old patchwork coverlets linger among them, and they have an untidy habit of keeping their wardrobes in hat boxes. When I recall one old gentleman who is rather choice in his shoe brushes and blacking bottle, I have summed up the domestic elegances of that side of the building. On the occurrence of a death in Titbull's, it is invariably agreed among the survivors, and it is the only subject on which they do agree, that the departed did something to bring it on. apostrophe judging by titles, I should say the human race need never die, if they took care. But they don't take care, and they do die, and when they die in titles they are buried at the cost of the foundation. Some provision has been made for the purpose, in virtue of which
I record this on the strength of having seen the funeral of Mrs. Quinch.
A lively neighboring undertaker dresses up four of the old men, and four of the old women, hustles them into a procession of four couples, and leads off with a large black bow at the back of his hat, looking over his shoulder at them merrily from time to time to see that no member of the party has got lost, or has tumbled down, as if they were a company of dim old dolls. Resignation of a dwelling is a very rare occurrence in titles. A story does obtain there, how an old lady's son once drew a prize of £30,000 in the lottery, and presently drove to the gate in his own carriage, with French horns playing up behind, and whisked his mother away, and left 10 guineas for a feast. But I have been unable to substantiate it by any evidence, and regard it as an almshouse fairy tale. It is curious that the only proved case of resignation happened within my knowledge. It happened on this wise. There is a sharp competition among the ladies respecting the gentility of their visitors, and I have so often observed visitors to be dressed as for a holiday occasion, that I suppose the ladies to have besought them to make all possible display when they come. In these circumstances much excitement was one day occasioned by Mrs. Mitz receiving a visit from a Greenwich pensioner. He was a pensioner of a bluff and warlike appearance, with an empty coat sleeve, and he was got up with unusual care. His coat buttons were extremely bright, he wore his empty coat sleeve in a graceful festoon, and he had a walking stick in his hand that must have cost money. When, with the head of his walking stick, he knocked at Mrs. Mitz's door, there are no knockers in titles. Mrs. Mitz was overheard by a next door neighbor to utter a cry of surprise expressing much agitation, and the same neighbor did afterwards solemnly affirm that, when he was admitted into Mrs. Mitz's room, she heard a smack which was not a blow. There was an air about this Greenwich pensioner, when he took his departure, which imbued all titbulls with the conviction that he was coming again. He was eagerly looked for, and Mrs. Mitz was closely watched. In the meantime, if anything could have placed the unfortunate six old gentlemen at a greater disadvantage than that at which they chronically stood, it would have been the apparition of this Greenwich pensioner. They were well shrunken already, but they shrunk to nothing in comparison with the pensioner. Even the poor old gentlemen themselves seemed conscious of their inferiority, and to know submissively that they could never hope to hold their own against the pensioner with his warlike and maritime experience in the past, and his tobacco money in the present. His checkered career of blue water, black gunpowder, and red bloodshed for England, home, and beauty. Before 3 weeks were out, the pensioner reappeared. Again he knocked at Mrs. Mitz's door with the handle of his stick, and again was he admitted. But not again did he depart alone, for Mrs. Mitz, in a bonnet identified as having been re-embellished, went out walking with him, and stayed out till the 10 o'clock beer, Greenwich time. There was now a truce, even as to the troubled waters of Mrs. Sagar's pail. Nothing was spoken of among the ladies, but the conduct of Mrs. Mitz, and its blighting influence on the reputation of titbulls. It was agreed that Mr. Battens ought to take it up, apostrophe, and Mr. Battens was communicated with on the subject. That unsatisfactory individual replied that he didn't see his way yet, apostrophe, and it was unanimously voted by the ladies that aggravation was in his nature. How it came to pass, with some appearance of inconsistency, that Mrs. Mitz was cut by all the ladies, and the pensioner admired by all the ladies, matters not. Before another week was out, Titbulls was startled by another phenomenon. At 10 o'clock in the forenoon appeared a cab, containing not only the Greenwich pensioner with one arm, but, to boot, a Chelsea pensioner with one leg.
Both dismounting to assist Mrs. Mitz into the cab, the Greenwich pensioner bore her company inside, and the Chelsea pensioner mounted the box by the driver, his wooden leg sticking out after the manner of a bowsprit, as if in jocular homage to his friend's seagoing career. Thus the equipage drove away. No Mrs. Mitz returned that night. What Mr. Battens might have done in the matter of taking it up, goaded by the infuriated state of public feeling next morning, was anticipated by another phenomenon. A truck, propelled by the Greenwich pensioner and the Chelsea pensioner, each placidly smoking a pipe, and pushing his warrior breast against the handle. The display on the part of the Greenwich pensioner of his marriage lines, apostrophe and his announcement, that himself and friend had looked in for the furniture of Mrs. G. Pensioner, late Miss, by no means, reconciled the ladies to the conduct of their sister. On the contrary, it is said, that they appeared more than ever exasperated. Nevertheless, my stray visits to Titbull since the date of this occurrence, have confirmed me in an impression that it was a wholesome fillip. The nine ladies are smarter, both in mind and dress, than they used to be, though it must be admitted that they despise the six gentlemen to the last extent. They have a much greater interest in the external thoroughfare, too, than they had when I first knew Titbull's. And whenever I chance to be leaning my back against the pump or the iron railings, and to be talking to one of the junior ladies, and to see that a flush has passed over her face, I immediately know without looking round that a Greenwich pensioner has gone past. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.